So, today's story, we are going to leave Mathura now. We've been in Mathura for a few days. We spent some time in Keshwaji Mandir, taking darshan of the Lord and seeing the Lord's ecstatic dancing. Then the scene shifted to the house of one Mathura Brahmin, the Sanodiya Brahmin of Mathura. And he had the good fortune of offering prasad to the Lord and having very nice conversations with the Lord. Now this story takes us to Madhya Lila chapter 15. This is verse 244 to 230. And this story, now we're in Jagannath Puri. We left the holy dham of Vrindavan and we've gone to the holy dham of Jagannath Puri, Sri Khetra, Vipralamba Khetra, Durlab Kshetra. It's very rarely attained. Very, very rare to attain this holy abode of Jagannath Puri. Very, very rare to attain darshan of Jagannathji, Balaram Subhadra. So now the Lord has been invited to take prasadam in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It was a very happy time. Lunch engagement. Lunch engagements are always very happy times. Filled with anticipation. What will I get to eat? Eating is always a lot of fun, generally, especially if you're hungry. So Mahaprabhu has been invited here. So basically it's a luncheon engagement, but it turns out, which is a very happy occasion, very joyous, happy time, pleasurable time, but it has a little bit of a sour note in it. And this is why the pastime is called Lord Chaitanya delivers Amoga, that's somebody's name. He delivers Amoga, the offender. So now that honoring prasadam is certainly a sweet occasion, but if there's some offenders or aparadis there, then it's not so sweet. So let's find out how did the sand enter the sweet rice. So this is one day in Jagannath Puri. There's a lot of discussion between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Lord Chaitanya about taking so much food, and they're joking back and forth. I was very happy. Lord Chaitanya is saying, yes, you just give me some steamed vegetables and a little plain rice. That'll be sufficient. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, what are you talking about? You're here, you're also here as Jagannath. You are also Jagannath. You are Chaitanya. You are also that same Jagannath in the temple. And every day you are eating chapan bhog, 56 offerings. And you are also Nanda Nandan. You are also Krishna Vrindavan. And every day you are eating makkan and misri and rubri and rasgulla and kachori and so many preparations the Yashoda is making for you. So you can't fool me with all this steamed sabji and plain rice. So we've made a very elaborate, wonderful feast for you. So please, you take it. You honor it. So, Etashuni Hasi Prabhu Vasila Bhojane Jagannathera Prasada Bhutta Dena Harshamoni. Hearing all this from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled, Prabhu Hasi, and sat down to eat Vasya. Bosun, Bosun, Prabhu, Bosun, Bosun. Bosun means sit down. Bosila, 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 Bosila Bhojani. So he sat down to eat with great pleasure. The Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, with great pleasure, first offered Mahaprabhu Jagannath Prasad. Should start everything on a sweet note. Also end everything on a sweet note. So, his wife must have cooked so many offerings, which we already heard about, how many wonderful preparations. His wife, of course, is a Brahmani, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a Grihastha Brahmin. He's an Acharya, a Guru, very learned scholar of Jagannath Puri, Arisa, and Bhattacharya. So many wonderful sattvic, beautiful preparations have been cooked by his wife. which are certainly suitable to offer to Lord Chaitanya directly and primarily. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he understands what Lord Chaitanya likes the most and what pleases Lord Chaitanya the most. And what pleases Lord Chaitanya the most is what pleases Radharani the most. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna and Radhabhav. Krishna tasting the mood of Radharani. Krishna tasting the desires and love of Radharani. So what does that Radharani like the most? She likes to take the remnants of Brajendra Nanda and Shamsundar. She likes to eat what he has eaten, to taste what he has tasted. So Sarvabhauma, he understands this. So he's thinking, I can give my wife's offerings later, but let me give Jagannath Prasadam, this Krishna Fela. Krishna Fela, this Jagannath Prasadam is mixed with the transcendental saliva of Jagannath's mouth. And Jagannath is none other than Brajendra Nandan Shamsundara. He is Krishna of Vrindavan, the flute-playing coward boy of Vrindavan. So I know that this will set Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind in the right place. This will fix him in a good frame of mind. He'll become very happy by this. Jagannath Mahaprasadam, great. Then after he eats his Jagannath Mahaprasadam, becomes so elated, then it doesn't matter what my wife offers him. Whatever my wife has cooked, whatever she has prepared, and whatever I offer to Lord Chaitanya, he'll be very happy because I've already established him in happy mood by firstly offering him Jagannath Mahaprasadam. Like we have a phrase in English, first things first. Like we may have some pressing duty or some engagement that requires immediate attention. So instead of procrastinating, which is a symptom of ignorance, tamagun, we should attend to it at the earliest. Yes, let me do this. This is the primary thing. I must do this first. The most important thing for me to do every day, I should do it right away, in the beginning of the day, not hesitate, not delay, not postpone, not wait, not procrastinate. These are all tamagun. So for any initiated devotee, the primary activity, the most important activity for him to do every day is to chant 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra. And everything else is secondary. Everything else can take a back seat, as they say. Everything else will get done somehow or other. Thy kingdom come, thy shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. The prayer to God. So this is the thing. First things first. First, Jagannath Mahaprasadam. Then, after that, anything goes. You're offering my offering, who's offering, grandma, anybody? But first, make the person happy. Make them joyful. And wives often do that. Wives make their husbands very happy. Then they say, Prabhu, I need some money. Give me some money. So first make the husband happy, then ask for some money. So Jagannath Prasadam, first things first. So for us, that's also a good idea. To eat Jagannath Prasadam first, then we'll already be in bliss, so it doesn't matter if we eat burnt dahlia or any old thing. It doesn't matter what we eat, as long as we can relish that supreme and topmost taste of Jagannath Mahaprasadam. Then even if someone offers us burnt dahlia, we won't complain. We'll say, it's par for the course, but at least I have that. I can remember that taste of Jagannath Prasad. But if you only get burnt khichdi, then it's a little tough. It's a little hard to forget. Sometimes to err is human, as they say. Now, so this is a setting, very happy setting. He's been a sannyasi. He's visiting a grihastha. This is the Vedic culture. The Tridandi Bhikshus, the sannyasis, or the Ekdandi Bhikshus, the mendicants, they go and bless the householders with their holy presence. They speak some, at least, of course, Vaishnav sannyasis will speak some Harikata, engage in some Sankirtan, and some discussion to try to make everything, set everything right and peaceful in the people's houses. Then the Grihasthas will honor that visiting saint by washing his feet and offering aarti to him and garlands, then sit him appropriately and feed him very wonderful Krishna prasadam. So this is the Vedic culture of receiving guests. You see so many examples of this in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, excuse me, in Srimad Bhagavatam, many kings, Prithu, etc., receiving, or Krishna himself for that matter. Krishna was posing as a king, playing as a king in Dwarka. So when Narada Muni would come, or some great rishi would come, Krishna himself would get off his dais. He would jump off his singhasan and go and greet that sage and personally wash his feet and put the water on his head and sprinkle the water on the head of Rukmini and the other princess or queens and show great honor and regard. And he's Bhagavan Dwarkadish, Bhagavan Narayan. So much honor they show to the rishis and deva rishis and saintly people. So Lord Chaitanya is there, he's being honored, he's being fed wonderful food with great feelings of happiness, he's laughing, very joyful mood. Then, so there's very nice music being played in the background, very happy music, upbeat music. And everything's happy and joyous. And then in comes the cloud. And in walks the cloud in the clear sky. Dum dum dum. Dum dum dum. Dum dum dum. Everyone's, oh. And the music takes on a different tone. And everybody's emotions start going deeper. Oh, here comes the bad guy. Snidely Whiplash. Or whatever. Some bad person's coming. So next thing. Haina kale amoga bhattacharaina jamata kulina nindaka tenho shati kanyara bharata. It's interesting. Today's, was it Baiduj or something? This is about brothers and sisters here. At this time, the bhattacharya had a son-in-law named Amoga, who was the husband of his daughter, Shasti. Although Amoga was born in an aristocratic Brahmana family, Amoga was a great fault finder and blasphemer. He was a nindak, a nindaka, Shastraninda or Sadraninda. So Amoga was a Brahmin, very high caste, Brahmin, way beyond Kshatriya, Vaishya, etc. And he was aristocratic, so he's not only a Brahmin, he's also wealthy. But he had a very major fault. He had good things going, very good things, good birth, high birth, Janmaishvarya Shuta Shribir. He had Shuti, he had great learning, he had Shri, he had wealth, opulence, strength. But he was a great nindaka. A nindaka, he was a great blasphemer and offender. Bhojana dekite chahi asite na pare latte hate bhattacharya achena duyare. Amoga wanted to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat. Bhojan dekite chahiye. He says chahe. He would say chahiye. But Amoga was not allowed to enter the dining room. Why? Because his father-in-law, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, was guarding the threshold of the house with a stick in his hand. Lati. Lati hate. Lati. In his hot, this is his hand, hot. In his hand, the father-in-law was holding a big stick and standing at the doorway to the dining room. Don't try to enter over here. Don't look in this room. Don't disturb the Lord's Bhojan Leela in my house. He's having his bhog. Teno jari prasadadite haila anaman amoga asi anadeki karaye nindan. However, as soon as Bhattacharya began to distribute the prasadam to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time he was a little inattentive. At that time Amoga snuck into the room. Seeing the huge quantity of food lying before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Amoga began to blaspheme. Amogasi anadeki kariye nindan. This is a nice pastime. Yesterday was Anakut. Anakut mountain. Anakut mountain of Anna, mountain of grains, hill of grains.
What's this? So much food? Who are you? What do you think you are?
Sannyasi or bogi? You're tyagi or bogi? Ayane triptahai dasha parajana ekala sannyasikari eteka bhakshana. The nindaka, the offender, the blasphemer, Amoga, the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Puri, Jagannath Puri, when he saw, he said, this much food is sufficient to satisfy 10 or 12 men. But I see that simply one sannyasi alone is eating so much. Eteka. Kare eteka bhakshana. Shunite bhattacharya ulati chahila. Tanra avadana deki amoga palaya palaila. As soon as Amoga said this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya turned his eyes upon him because he was busy serving the food. And Amoga came in the doorway. What's this? All this food? 10 or 12 men? And your one sannyasi is pigging out, eating all this food? Huh? What's this? And very lovingly and carefully, Sarvabhauma is serving this prasad, and then he turns around. Who invited this guy? Where did this stinking son-in-law come? As soon as I let down my guard at the gate, as soon as I put down my lati and picked up the prasad ladle to serve out the prasadam, this rascal nindaka snuck in here and spoiled everything. As soon as Amoga said that, Sarvabhaumacharya turned his eyes on him. Seeing the Bhattacharya's attitude, that's a nice way to say it, attitude, let's say, seeing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's fiery, angry, red eyes, seeing the fiery, angry, red eyes of my father-in-law, I thought that I should lickety-split. I should get out of here pronto, right away. So Amoga immediately left, exit, stage right. But that's not the end of it. Bhattacharya lati lana marita dhaila palaya amogatara lagana paila. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya grabbed that lati, that stick, and he ran after his son-in-law to beat him. Marite, it says strike, but marite means kill. In Hindi, everyone knows mara. Mara, 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 ram, ram, ram. They're just, Prabhupada's being gentle here. He doesn't want to disturb anyone's sentiments that, this Bhattacharya is going to kill his son-in-law. This doesn't look so good here. It's not a very nice thing. But this marite doesn't, you can say strike. Yes, marite, strike with the intention to kill. Bhattacharya ran after him to strike him with a stick. But Amoga fled so fast that Bhattacharya could not catch him. Naturally, Amoga is about 80 years old. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is about 80 or 90. And Amoga is about 25. So you can imagine how fast he went out of there. Tabe gali shapadite shap. Tabe gali shapadite Bhattacharya aila. Ninda shuni Mahaprabhu hasite lagila. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then began to curse his son-in-law and call him ill names. You dirty son! I curse you. When Bhattacharya returned from chasing his son-in-law and cursing him with bad names, and shop, giving him a curse, Lord Chaitanya was observing this. And he was laughing to hear him criticize Amoga. Lord Chaitanya is still laughing. He was laughing when he sat down to see all the preparations, and he's laughing at the floor show. The floor show being provided here, the entertainment, the in-flight entertainment being provided by his host. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is his host, and Sarvabhauma's son-in-law, they're providing very amusing entertainment. You see this old man pick up and say, "You lousy!" And this young guy going, I'll kill you, rascal!" And Lord Chaitanya, he's like laughing and dropping his prasadam on his cheddar. So then, Shuni Shatira Mata Shire Buka Gatamare Shatirandi Hauka Iha Bhale Bhare Bhare. When Shati's mother, Shati, is the wife of the offender, Amoga, and Shati is the daughter of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So when Bhattacharya's wife heard of this incident, she immediately began to strike her head and her chest again and again, saying, "Let Shati become a widow! Let Shati become a widow! Let Shati become a widow!" In other words, let my daughter, let her husband die. Basically, the mother-in-law is saying, "May my son-in-law die." Says, and here are the same words, Mari. Let her become a widow. Shati. Let Shati become a widow. Dunhara dukkha deki, Prabhu dukkha prabhudhya. Dunhara ichate bhojan, kaila tushtahana. Seeing the lamentation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to pacify them. According to their desire, Mahaprabhu ate the prasadam and was very satisfied. Icha. Dunhara icha. Ichaate. Bhojan kaila. Bhojan kaila tushtahana. So despite all this salt, let's say sand and the sweet rice, of Amoga making this offense and criticizing Lord Chaitanya, and the reaction of Sarvabhauma trying to strike him with a lati, and the reaction of Sarvabhauma's wife saying, let him die, and let my daughter Shati become a widow. Despite all of these things going on, Lord Chaitanya had a wonderful meal. He thoroughly enjoyed himself, tushta, santosh, complete satisfaction. And at the same time, he tried to pacify them. He said, "It's all right, your son-in-law is a little crazy. This happens sometimes. Son-in-laws act like this. Don't worry so much. He's not a bad guy. After all, he is a Brahmin. It can't be all bad. And he is a husband of your daughter, after all. Be a little kind to him. Don't be so harsh. Besides that, your cooking is wonderful. I'm so satisfied. I'm really satisfied. So don't worry about this nonsense guy. Your cooking is overridden. Your cooking overrides all of that. I've forgotten all that. When I leave your house today, the only thing I will remember is your wonderful prasadam and your wonderful service. I will forget all about this Amoga. Why do I care? Don't worry. Don't be in anxiety." Achaman karana bhatta dila mukkava tulasi manjari lavanga ilachi rasavas. After Mahaprabhu finished eating the wonderful meal, the Bhattacharya poured water for the Lord to wash his mouth, hands, and legs. Mukkavas. Achaman karana. And he offered Lord Chaitanya flavored spices, tulsi manjaris, cloves, and cardamom. It says mukavas, residing in the mouth. Mukavas. It's translated dila mukavas. He has given something to reside in his mouth. Dila Mukavas. Translation. He gave some flavored spices. Like lavanga. Lavanga means long. Cloves. Elachi means elachi. Cardamom. This is standard what they call achman. The ingredients of achman, which is a type of an article used in puja. Idam achamaniyam klem krishnaya namaha. Achaman. Achmaniyam. It's a type of water mixed with some rose petals or some spices like cardamom, elachi, or this cloves, long. I guess nice flavor. And it's not only nice flavor, the mouth is left with a nice flavor eating these spices afterwards or taking this achman, but also purifying. Because these spices have different oils in them, and these oils are antiseptic. They actually kill the germs in the mouth. So this is tradition, Vedic culture. It has its scientific basis also for those who want to study the scientific aspect. So he had tulsi manjari, cloves, and cardamom. And it's interesting, it says, tulsi manjari labanga ilachi rasavas. It said, this rasavas, rasa means water, liquid, taste, mellow, love, feelings, rapture, divine rapture, rasa. And rasavas, it means that, it's a translation Prabhupada gives, that which brings saliva. So these spices, as many of you may have experienced, when you keep some cloves, long, or some elachi, cardamom, in your mouth, then it does, in fact, you just keep them in your mouth, your saliva starts increasing more and more. And that's a very healthy thing. And you mix this saliva with the oils and aromatic oils of those spices, elachi and long, and keep it in your mouth, and then you swallow that saliva, and that saliva is a very great digestive aid. It's much better than any kind of Hingostak chorna and Adrak chorna and this chorna and that chorna and this asava and this rishta, dasamul rishta and dasamul asava and drakshasava and all these types of Ayurvedic wines and digestive ideas or substances. But people are too busy and too modern, and they don't know about all these things. They don't want to take part in the old ways, the old traditions. We abandon these old traditions. We'd rather chew dentine chewing gum after we eat, or maybe a peppermint lifesaver, or spearmint for variety. This is the modern way, or some. They have these mints and all these things. But this is all just 100% sense gratification. There's no medicinal effect. I guess it's all based on ignorance. But these ancient seers of truth, who understood all the principles of this body and this world, they came up with this success formulas: how to eat, how to drink, how to live, how to build a house, how to do everything. After so much experiment and realization and revelation from divine, and they distributed all this sacred, sanctified knowledge for the benefit of human society. So if you want to take all these Vedic principles, if you put these Vedic principles to the test, if you submit these Vedic principles, rules and regulations to a scientific test or examination, you'll find out that they're quite scientific. They're quite correct and quite accurate. When the Vedas say that cow dung is pure, people scoff at it. They say, what? You wash the floor of your house with cow dung? How is it possible? No. Cow dung, the Vedas say that cow dung is purifying. It has prophylactic effect. It is antiseptic. Are you crazy? You wipe stool on your floor? You Indian people, you wipe stool on your floor? Oh, this is most barbaric. This is heathen. You should use pine sol or phenol. pine salt if you're Western, hip Western, or use phenol if you're old-fashioned Indian, 1920s style. And if you're modern, I know they have some other this thing, some horrible chemical. And this is purifying. This kills the germs and kills your nose also. Burns out your nose sensors, smell sensors. But perchance, if someone was to take gober or cow dung into the laboratory and examine its qualities, they would see, aha, the Vedic scriptures are correct. We find that if we take a mixture of cow dung and we put it into a, whatever you call it, those little things, a little culture dish, whatever it is, and then we put some germs in there, we find those germs are killed. Under the microscope, we see so many germs. Then we drop those germs into a little bit of cow dung, and it kills all those germs. That's a fact. It's antiseptic. Oh, the Vedas are correct. What do you know? What a coincidence. But meanwhile, they try to brainwash everyone. Oh, cow dung is no good. This is village life, primitive. Get out of here. This, that, stinking. But it's so pure. The same way with these spices. One takes clove or elychee and keeps in the mouth for some time and increases the flow of saliva, and anyone that ever studied hygiene or nutrition or biology, human biology or physiology, understands the importance, the vital importance of the proper secretion of gastric juices in the stomach and the stomach from the stomach lining and also from the mouth. Digestion begins in the mouth. The pepsin and the analyte or whatever it is, all these different kinds of chemicals are secreted by the human body, which digests the proteins and fats and all the foods that we eat. So if we can increase that flow of saliva, then that will increase the flow, the content or the amount of chemicals, digestive enzymes, pepsin, and I know all these digestive enzymes that are in saliva. For example, when you have a fever, what happens when you have a fever? When you have a fever, your body is hot. And when your body is hot, it burns up all the water in your body. So when all the water burns up in your body, there's no water in your mouth. You have dry mouth. And when you have no water in your mouth, there's no rasa in your mouth. And there's no digestive enzymes in your mouth. So therefore, starve a fever, feed a cold. When you have a fever, you don't want to eat. In fact, your body's saying, don't give me any food because I'm not producing any water. All the water is being burned up by the fever. I'm not producing any enzymes to digest this food in the mouth. So therefore, these spices, they increase the flow of saliva, which increases the power of digestion. It's all science. It's so perfect. Oh, but this is old idea. Oh, my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather in Haryana, he used to always serve out cloves and elychee. But this is the old-fashioned ways. This is old-fashioned ways. Now it's eat and run. Stand up, eat, and run. We don't even have time to sit down on a chair. At least my father sat on a chair. My grandfather sat on the floor. The Vedic way, sit on the floor. But me, I cannot sit on the floor, and I cannot sit on a chair. Because I have to run each and everywhere. So this is an unfortunate situation of the misguided so-called modern man. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, of course, living in the association of Brahmins who know the proper standard of human life and they're implementing it.
Sarvange Paraila Prabhur Malya Chandan Dandavat Dhanavali Sadhanya Vachan Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya then placed a flower garland over Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and smeared his body with sandalwood paste. Sarvange Paraila Malya Chandan. Chandan from the Malya mountain range, Malayan hills. Dainyavachan, humble words. Dandavat. So this is really we're learning here, this is called Vaishnav Sadachar. Who is the Vaishnav? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And who is he showing the correct behavior toward? A visiting sannyasi. Who is that sannyasi? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by the way, he's also Bhagavan. But the behavior that he's showing is, he would show the same behavior to any visiting sannyasi or visiting advanced devotee that by chance would come to frequent his home and honor the prasad there. He would offer him, he would serve him very lovingly and attentively and carefully the wonderfully cooked food items and prasadam, and then he would offer suitable spices to help that guest digest the food, and then to further honor and refresh and relax the guest, he would offer him a fragrant flower garland, which also enhances the ability to digest food. The fragrance of the flower garland is very satisfying to the mind. All the tension relaxes from the mind when you smell the flower garland. And when you feel the flower garland around your neck, it creates a very soothing effect on the physical body. It's like a type of kavacha. When the flower garland goes around the neck and hangs, you feel very protected, and very sheltered, and very, very refreshed by a flower garland. And then to increase the satisfaction, then beautiful chandan is put on the forehead. Sometimes you go to some ashrams and they put chandan on your forehead, and they greet you after traveling or whatever. You ever had that experience? So this is the standard, the Vedic standard. Guests are coming. Okay, then immediately you start grinding chandan, have chandan prepared. You offer it to Giridhari, so it's Mahachandan. You get some garlands. This is all how loving dealings. Vaishnava behavior means the behavior based on love. Because when you love God, or we're trying to love God, then we also should try to express not only love towards God, but express our love towards all God's parts and parcels, all of His people, all of His animals. So after offering this wonderful feast of food, divinely cooked food to Lord Chaitanya, and offering digestive spices, and then offering a fragrant garland and chandan, then his puja was over. Whenever you do puja, you know, Esha Ganda, Iram Sugandhanam Pushpam, we offer flowers, so many bija mantras. So after one performs puja, archan to the Sri Murti, then what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to offer dandavats. Dandavats are some obeisances. So then Lord Chaitanya was his worshipable deity. The sannyasi, Lord Chaitanya, has come to his house, so he's concluded his worship of the deity. So now he's offering dandavats. So it says, dandavata bale sadainya vachan. Dandavata bale sadainya vachan. That after offering, he offered dandavats in submission, and also we offer dandavats to pray to the worshipable Lord. Oh, I'm humbly falling at your feet, and I'm praying you to please forgive me if I have made any offenses in my service to you, or in my worship of you, in my seva puja, if I have made it, please forgive me. I'm lying at your feet in submission, and I'm begging for your omission. Please overlook my offenses. And then he stands up, and he speaks. Bale means bolo. Bale sadainya vachan. He speaks in very, very humble words. Of course, this is significant because he's such an exalted, illustrious personality. He is the most famous person in Jagannath Puri, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because he's the guru of the king and guru of thousands and thousands of other people. So he has every right to be proud. But he's not proud. He's not puffed up. He speaks sadainya vachan. He speaks very, very humble and submissive words to his guest, to the Lord, Chaitanya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he obviously, from this whole incident,
that took place, that his son-in-law made such a scene in the middle of the lunchtime of offending the exalted and esteemed guest. Lord Chaitanya was offended, or at least Amoga tried his best to offend him. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was feeling very apologetic and very sorrowful. So in very soft and gentle and submissive words, Dainya Bachchan, he said, Nindakarite toma aninu nijagari eyapurada prabhu shama karamore. O Prabhu, I brought you to my home just to have you blasphemed. This is a great offense. Please excuse me. I beg your pardon. This is Dainya. There's so much humility. He's feeling so bad. Imagine if you invite someone to your house. Someone, sannyasi, comes to your house for lunch. And then your daughter, Radha, she comes and she goes in the kitchen and she gets some bowl of ice cream. And she runs in and she throws it in the face of your sannyasi guest. This is something not very nice. She goes, oh, I don't like sannyasis. Don't. You're trying to steal my mother and father. You're trying to steal their attention away from me and direct it to Krishna. I don't like it. And then she kicks you in the shins, throws ice cream in your face and kicks you in the shins. Don't. Ow, 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 ow. So how much embarrassed the mother and father would be. How much humiliated and humbled and sorrowful and apologetic they would feel. So you can imagine, Sarvabhauma. God is his guest. Prabhu kahe, nindanahi sahaja kahila, ihati tomarakiva apurada haila. Mahaprabhu said, what Amoga said is, that is correct. Therefore it is not blaspheme. What is your offense? So he's saying that sahaja, this is sahaja means like we said sahajya. Sahaja means natural. Natural rightly. It is natural what he said. Amoga, he spoke like that. That's his nature. That's all right. What's the offense? Etabali Mahaprabhu Chalila Bhavani Bhattacharya Tanragari Gila Tanrasane. After saying this, Mahaprabhu left and returned to his residence in Kashimishra's house at the Gambira. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya followed him, which is, of course, the etiquette also. Vaishnava etiquette is when you have a guest, you walk behind the guest, or usually behind or aside, next to, on the left-hand side, and you escort the guest to the gate, and you may even walk some way up the street. And I had one friend from South India, one devotee, and he was from a village in South India. And he was telling me about the old culture, how much people when a guest would leave, if some guest, some relative would come, because everything was by foot, there was no buses and trains in the old days, everyone traveled by foot, paidal, and padyatra. So when a relative, a cousin, uncle, grandfather, etc., would come to visit, then everyone was so happy in the village. Everyone was very, very happy, in the house, to receive him. And then he would say, I'm staying two, three days here, and then I'll go. Then when it was time for him to go, then everyone in the house would start crying, oh, please, don't go. Please, can you stay another day? So then there was so much loving exchange between family members, intense loving exchanges. So then the person, no matter what his schedule was or what his itinerary, he would just change everything. Say, all right, I'll stay. Don't cry, I'll stay. And people happily and lovingly would serve him for another 2 days. So now he came for three, he stayed for five. Then he would leave and he'd say, okay, now I must go. I'm really quite late. I have to go on and travel home or whatever. And then they would follow him down the road, and he'd be carrying his bags, and they would follow him. And they would stop. And they would say, please, can you stop? Rest for 1 minute. Your bags are so heavy. And they're walking some distance. As soon as he put his bags down, then the host, his relatives, would pick up his bags and say, no, come on, you must come back. Please come back. And he's already 2 miles outside the village. And they said, please, please come back. And everyone started crying, oh, please. And then they went, oh, all right, all right. And then he would walk back 2 miles and stay in the house. This is how much love, the intense love that they couldn't bear to be separated. Once they came together for a visit, you would go for 3 days and end up for 3 weeks. And this was going on even like just before the 100 years ago or so in the villages. There was so much intense love. So Sarvabhauma, he's following Lord Chaitanya home. And of course, if you want to see this, also, as it's described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna came to Hastinapura from Dwarka to visit Yudhisthira, he had planned to come for 1 week, and he stayed for 6 months. This is described in the Bhagavatam. And every time he wanted to go, they would think of a different reason to keep him there. And he said, all right, all right. And you could imagine, Krishna is not a small-time person. Back home, you're worried about, well, I have to run the deli. My daughter is all alone with Kaveri. It's monumental. It's like, this is, it requires the United Nations to manage such events. This is a major, major thing here. I can't bear to be one night without them. They're just little babies. I can't carry on. And so we run off to Delhi after a few hours in Vrindavan. Now, just imagine Krishna's family. He has 16,108 wives, 160,000 sons, 16,108 daughters, and 16,108 palaces, and 16,108 electric bills. And he's not worried about extending his stay in Hastinapur from 2 weeks to 6 months. And there was no cell phone, and there was no fax, and there was no telephone, and there was no courier, and there was no mail, there was nothing but a few pigeons or something. You can write a message on the leg of a pigeon and give him a kick and send him to Dwarka. But even that would take a few days, or weeks, and besides that, he may get shot by a hunter somewhere. So it was very, very hard to send a message. And now it's like every 5 minutes, hello, are you still there? Yes, Mom. I'm right where you called me. 5 minutes ago, I was watching TV in the living room, and I'm still in the living room watching TV. And then 10 minutes later, hello, are you still there? Yes, Mom. Now I'm in the kitchen eating potato chips. Okay, that's fine. That's good. You eat some more. Okay. Then 10 minutes later, now, yes, Mom. I'm in the bathroom. Oh, excuse me. I didn't mean to call you there. I mean, it's so ridiculous now. It's really ridiculous. And all this is supposedly going on in the name of such intense prema and bhava and love. That's all bogus. Because if any relative comes, nowadays the mentality is if some relative comes from Punjab to spend a day or two, as soon as he gets there, the people start saying, God, when's he leaving? When's he leaving? Maybe he doesn't have a ticket. Maybe we should send our driver, give him a ride back. Just the opposite. And if a relative stays, like a mother-in-law or a mother is visiting, she stays more than 3 days, then everyone in that house makes sure that she knows it, that she's not welcome anymore. By innuendos, by snide comments, by rude dealing. Somehow, Grandma, I think your other son and Ludhiana, I think he really wants to see you. He called me last night. Maybe you should shove off now and head out of town. It's a different thing. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's walking right with the Lord, following him. Then again, because he's not satisfied, the Lord said, it's okay, that's sahaja, that's your son-in-law's nature, he's an offender, so he did his thing, so don't worry about it. So Lord Chaitanya's leaving, going home, Bhattacharya, but still Bhattacharya is disturbed, he's not satisfied, he doesn't feel that this is the end of it, he's not pleased that with this exchange in his house. Prabhupade padi bahu atma ninda kaila tanre shanta kari prabhu gare pataila. Falling down at Mahaprabhu's feet, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said many things in self-reproach. This is atma ninda kaila. Atma ninda bahu. Bahu atma ninda kaila. He was saying he was actually offending himself. He was saying, I'm a very bad person. Why, I, please, I, it's all my fault. I'm really a very bad person. So his Atmaninda, he was making offense to his Atma. He's making offense to himself. He was pointing to himself, it's my fault, I'm really a very bad person. I shouldn't have invited you, I have no qualification. And all this is called Atman. The Lord then pacified Sarvabhauma and sent him back to his home. It's really all right. It's all, Sarvabhauma, don't worry. Don't worry your mind about it. It's okay. It's over. It's done. Now go back home. Relax. I don't take any offense. I'm fine. I'm really okay. It was a wonderful meal. Your wife pleased me so much. I'm so much satisfied. And you just relax. Forget about everything. Forgive and forget. It's all right. Gare yasi bhattacharya shatira matasane apana nindya kichu balena vachane. After returning to his home, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya consulted with his wife, the mother of Shati. After personally condemning himself, he began to speak as follows. So now, tomorrow, we'll hear what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to his wife concerning this matter of Amogha offending Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.